Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
907, and we welcome the Penguin Lady to the program, Diane DiNapoli. How you doing?
Hi, great, Bob. How are you?
Good. Diane DiNapoli, the Penguin Lady, author of the book, The Great Penguin Rescue, was certainly the star of the recent publicity summit, which I attended down in New York City, where folks pitched the media on their stories. She has a number of stories to tell, but her book tells an incredible tale, the rescue of 40,000 penguins following a devastating oil spill. We're not talking BP and the Caribbean. We're talking off the coast of Africa.
That's correct. It was off the coast of Cape Town, South Africa, and it was exactly 10 years ago. We're at the anniversary now.
Really? And you got involved because, I mean, you, you're an expert on penguins. Maybe how did that happen? How did that come to be?
Well, I was a penguin aquarist at Boston's New England Aquarium, and at the time of the oil spill, I had been there for 3 years. And so we were called over to come help train and the volunteers that came in. There were more than 12,000 that came from all around the world. And so our role during the rescue effort was to train these people how to safely handle and rehabilitate the penguins.
Penguins, Africa, somehow don't compute. I mean, I realize that we go far south and close to Antarctica. Is that the idea?
Well, you know, I think it's one of the big misconceptions about penguins is that they all live in Antarctica or very cold places. And I think this is because typically in greeting cards and cartoons, that's how they're depicted. But in reality, only 4 of the 18 penguin species live in Antarctica. And most of them actually live in warmer climates, more temperate climates. So the African penguin, most people are very surprised to learn there are penguins there. They're the only species found on that continent, however.
How did this disaster happen? I mean, it was a ship, the MV Treasure. It ultimately sank, I believe. And what was it, carrying oil?
It wasn't an oil tanker. It was an iron ore carrier, and it was traveling from Brazil to China, and a hole appeared in the side of the ship when they were 700 miles off the coast of Cape Town, and they don't really know how that happened. They think it may have been one of these cargo containers that sometimes get swept off of ships in the stormy seas, and they float just beneath the surface of the water, so they're not visible, and they think they probably hit one of those. So the ship sank just off the coast of Cape Town between two of the main breeding islands for the African penguin.
How about the crew? Did they get off okay?
They did, yeah. The crew was safely removed from the ship, thankfully. And when the ship sank, what spilled into the environment was its fuel oil. So it was about 1,300 tons of oil. But the reason it was so devastating, even though it was a fraction of the amount of oil that spilled recently in the Gulf of Mexico, why it was so devastating was because the ship sank right between the two main breeding islands for the African penguin at the height of the best breeding season. And so 40% of the world population of this species lives on those two islands.
What's the species called, did you say?
It's called the African penguin. In the past, they've been called the black-footed penguin or the jackass penguin because they play like donkeys.
I see. In fact, you said that one of the reasons you knew these penguins were in trouble is you got there and they were quiet.
Yeah, you know, penguin colonies in the wild are very noisy, loud, raucous places because these penguins, one of the primary ways that they recognize their mates and their chicks and their parents is through the vocal recognition. So they're always honking and braying and calling back and forth. And so when you go to see a penguin colony in the wild, it's extremely noisy. And I had not yet visited a wild penguin colony when this spill occurred. And so when we walked into this enormous warehouse that had been set up as a temporary rehab center, I fully expected it to be noisy and loud. And, you know, but we walked through that front door and it was dead silent. Mm. And so you knew these were very traumatized, shell-shocked birds.
And in the middle of your book, you've got some pictures. I mean, it just what a sad sight this is, these oil-soaked penguins. I mean, it looks like, obviously there were thousands of them.
Yeah, there were 16,000 in that one building. So it was a bit overwhelming walking into a building seeing all those oil-covered animals.
So what, and who showed up, who was the posse that came to help the penguins?
Well, the primary posse was SANCOP, which is the local rehabilitation center in Cape Town, and they have been rescuing and rehabilitating seabirds for almost 40 years, and primarily they rescue oiled penguins. Because of this location, there's always ships going by. But also coming in was IFAW, which is the International Fund for Animal Welfare, and they sort of coordinated the logistics of all the staff and the volunteers. And then also the IBRRC, which many listeners may be familiar with because they also were coordinating the Gulf oil spill relief efforts. They're based out of California, and they're the International Bird Rescue and Rehab Center.
What does SANCOB stand for?
It's a mouthful, and it's a terrible acronym, but it's the South African National Foundation for the Conservation of Coastal Birds.
Now, what did you need to do for the penguin? You had to wash each one individually, didn't you?
Right. Every one of those, you know, there were 16,000 in that building and then 3,000 at SANCOB. So there were 19,000 in all that every single one had to be force-fed every single day. They had to be cleaned, and each penguin, it would take approximately 45 minutes to clean one bird. But many penguins were so heavily oiled, they had to be washed 10 or 12 times. And to do that requires two people, and we would use dishwashing soap and vats of hot water and high-pressure hoses and toothbrushes to clean the penguins.
And they got also a picture showing, I don't know if it's your arm, but people's arms all cut up. I mean, these aren't necessarily happy birds, and they peck you to death, practically.
Yeah, they will. They have razor sharp beaks. Most people think penguins look so cute and cuddly and docile. But in reality, they're very ornery birds, and they're very strong. They're very hardy. You know, they have solid bones, and they're very muscular, so they really can hurt when they bite. And that photo that's in the book of someone's forearms, my entire body looked like that. So I was covered head to toe with these razor sharp cuts.
Did you ever think, why are we doing this?
No, not for a second. I mean, as soon as we got the call to come to South Africa, I mean, it never crossed my mind to do anything but go, because without human intervention, these animals would have died within days, because once an animal is covered with oil, especially a bird like a penguin, they can no longer stay in the cold water to hunt for food, because that oil clumps up and separates their feathers, so then the cold water penetrates through down to their skin, and they become hypothermic, and they can no longer stay in the water to hunt for food, and they'll actually stand on land and starve to death rather than go back into the water. And then when they stand on land, they start preening to try and clean off that oil, and they use their beak to do that, so they ingest that oil, and when they swallow it, it has toxic effects on the body. So if people did not come, these animals all would have died.
The rescue of thousands of penguins off the coast of South Africa near Cape Town. Now, what were the logistics of this? I mean, the birds were at their breeding islands, and you had to take them somewhere else, didn't you, to clean them, or did you keep them there, or how'd that work?
Yeah, they did need to be transported off of the islands, and so there was a whole crew of people, most of the local conservation societies in the area, Cape Nature Conservation and others, they were out on the islands with volunteers collecting all of these birds, and then they'd be transported to land by helicopter, by boat. Even people that had sailboats that lived in the area and Zodiacs, they'd go out to the island because it's very close to shore, just about 2 miles offshore, and collect boxes of birds and bring them to these rescue centers that were on the mainland.
And then once they're clean, you had to take them back?
Right, and it took up to 2 months to wash all 19,000 birds. So in stages they would be washed, and in stages they would be released. So each release would have between 200 and 1,000 birds. And so, again, they'd box them up in these specially ventilated boxes, bring them down to the beach, line up all these boxes on the beach, and on the count of three, open them and turn them over, and the birds would just race back to the ocean.
I'm a little lost in the numbers, you know, not being a great student. I notice on your cover it says 40,000 penguins, but you keep talking about 19,000. Is that a lot of them then died, therefore?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should explain that. There were 19,000 that were covered with oil. There were another 19,500 that were in the path of the approaching oil slick. And so at this point, when the slick started moving towards Dasein Island, where all these other penguins were, the researchers and rescuers knew there was no more room for more oiled penguins. There weren't enough people to care for another 20,000 oiled penguins. And so they did something they'd never tried before, which was to remove these penguins from Dasein Island before the oil hit and transport them 500 miles up the coast and release them into clean waters there, knowing from previous experience that it would take the birds about 2 weeks to swim back to their island from there. And they knew they would swim back home. And hopefully the oil slick would be cleaned up by then, which fortunately it was.
Isn't that something? My goodness.
Yeah.
Diane DiNapoli's book, The Great Penguin Rescue. Now, how long, and this took a long time, and again, just leafing through, you had a robbery? Or, I mean, the bird rescuers were attacked or something?
Yeah, the hotel that I was staying at, I had just left the restaurant. You know, we were at the rescue centers till 10, 11, 12 at night, and I had just come back slightly earlier than some other team members. I'd gone into the restaurant. I had just left the restaurant, and within a few minutes, we heard this huge commotion down the hallway, and we came out, and five of our team members had just been robbed at gunpoint and machete point. And luckily, nobody was injured, but they just were after, you know, whatever goods they might have had and the cash register in the restaurant.
Oh, my goodness. And how long did this process take of cleaning the penguins?
The entire rescue effort took 3.5 months. The cleaning of the birds was about two months, and then there was further rehabilitation, you know, nursing them back to health, fattening them back up again before they could be released.
And I noticed, I looked at one of the pictures, and each penguin has some, like, little pink thing. I thought, well, maybe that's part of their natural coloring, which isn't the case. And why did you put some pink on them?
The pink dots were sprayed on their chest just prior to release so that the researchers could quickly and easily spot them in the wild to know that they had returned to their island. Each bird also had an individual ID bracelet put on its wing. It's a metal ID band that researchers use, so that all of those penguins have been monitored in the 10 years since that oil spill. But that pink spray paint would just stay on for a few months and fade away.
How are they doing if they've been monitored?
You know, they've actually, this is a really important thing, is that they have done just as well as their never oiled counterparts. So that once they were released, they have lived as long as the penguins that were never oiled. And after about a year or two of interrupted breeding because they'd been separated from their mates during the rescue, they resumed normal breeding.
Now, you were with the New England Aquarium. What do you do now?
Well, I left the New England Aquarium exactly 6 years ago this week, in fact, and I started an educational company, which is called the Penguin Lady, and I travel around teaching adults and children about penguin biology and behavior and conservation, and my mission is to raise awareness and funding to help protect disappearing penguin species, and so I donate 20% of the proceeds from every appearance to penguin rescue groups, and the same is true for the book. I'll be donating 20% of the proceeds to Penguin Rescue and also now to Gulf oil spill relief and restoration efforts.
And your website is thepenguinlady.com.
That's correct.
Diane DiNapoli, I thank you very much for joining us today. It's quite a story. Hard to beat this story. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
Take care.